Today, the message I want to share with you, I think Pastor Brady mentioned that is John 14, 15-27. I don't know, these days, have you noticed that there are some news, recently the cruise ship, Covenant, that lose the power, so they, travel on the sea, and when this boat loses the power, you can see some people on the ship. They have different response, and as the kind of the when this ship out of power, they don't have they don't have any electricity or anything. So whatever they need to eat is come from outside. So, and I heard that it takes 2 hours just for each people to get the food. And I read the news, they say some people get very panic and kind of hold the food that they can have. But some people, they kind of bond together, share the water, and pray together, comfort each other. So it's kind of two different response from the people. And another news that I noticed is on the Friday, that's thank you. And after that happened, that's a lady from Russia. She said, "Well, this is the end of the world. It's kind of Jesus is coming." And so and a lot of people get hurt because they when this mediator flight across the sky, they rush out to the window, try to see what's going on there, and all those windows were shattered when this sonic blast attack. So everybody get hurt because these flying glasses. So I don't know if we can imagine what will happen when Jesus is coming. And we should appreciate what we have right now and what God gives to us right now. Today I want to share with you the verse that I mentioned is John 14:15-27, and the title I'm going to share with you is The Promise from Jesus. The Promise from Jesus. Let me read the verse first. John 14:15-27. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." This verse is part of the series of the messages that Jesus preached to his disciples before he was crucified on the cross. And if you look through the chapter 13 to chapter 17, you will see Jesus, he tried to comfort his disciple, and also he want to share some of the message with them. We glimpse through of the chapter 13 to 17, we'll see that Jesus, first, he washed his disciples' feet, and Jesus predict the Peter's three times denial to him, and he also showed the disciple he is the way to the Father. And Jesus promised the coming of the Holy Spirit. They interpret his relationship with his disciple is kind of like a vine and a branch, and so on and so on. So the message, if you look through those messages, you can see there's a lot of comfort, a lot of encouragement, and a lot of love inside those messages. Last week, when I go to work, and I hear the story from the NPR, National Public Radio station, and they have a story call, and I would like to share this story call with you. I don't know if we can play that. I would like to hear this conversation between a single mom and her daughter. StoryCorps is a kind of an independent organization, a non-profit organization. The mission for this organization is to provide Americans of all backgrounds and all beliefs with the opportunity to record, share, and preserve the story of their lives. All the record story will put into the archives and will be shared with the future generation. It's like a time capsule. So they put all this in the archive, and for the future generation, maybe 15 years later, they can come back and listen all those conversations.
For StoryCorps, the project that records everyday people talking about.
Okay, it's coming.
And it's time for StoryCorps, the project that records everyday people talking about their lives. And today, a conversation with Bonnie Brown, who's intellectually disabled with a low IQ and works part time at Wendy's. She's a single mom, has a teenage daughter, Myra, and they recently interviewed each other for StoryCorps.
When you found out you were pregnant with me, like, what did you think?
I was very happy, and I was also scared.
Why were you scared?
Because I had never been pregnant before. I never had really an idea of how to care for a baby.
Did you ever feel like I was too much to handle, like, ever?
No. I think because I'm different, it might seem hard for me. But I was going to give it all I got, no matter what.
When I was a kid, I didn't realize that you were different, and you actually had to tell me because I wasn't figuring it out.
I said, Myra, I know I'm not like your friend's mothers, but I'm doing the best I can. And you said, it's okay, Mommy, and that made me feel so good. Has my disability affected your life?
I guess like when I was little, you had to go in for my parent-teacher conference, and like as a disclosure, I was like, my mom's disabled, but the day after the interview, my teacher said that you seemed really intelligent, and that made me feel embarrassed.
Why?
Because I kind of felt bad that I had said that, and then you'd gone and you'd been fine.
No offense taken, you were just giving her a heads up, right?
Yeah. What's the hardest thing that you've overcome?
Being hurt from people. Not physical, but just
like emotionally?
Yeah.
There were times when we would go out and people would just blatantly stare, and I would say something. I guess I'm kind of protective.
I'm really thankful because you understand me and you love me and you accept me, and thank you for that.
I don't know, you kind of make it seem like I tolerate you. I love you. You're a good parent. And just because you're disabled doesn't mean that you do anything less for me. You want me to succeed.
Yes, I do. I want you to make something of yourself.
I want you to know that even though our situation is unique, I'm happy that I'm in it because I'm happy that I'm with you.
Thank you, Mara. I feel the same way. I won't never change it for anything in this world.
Bonnie Brown and her daughter Myra at StoryCorps in Lansdowne, Pennsylvania. Hey, she's enrolled in the gifted and talented classes at her high school, hopes to attend Cambridge University when she graduates. Goodness, excuse me. Their interview will be archived at the Library of Congress. Go to the podcast, npr.org.
The title for this message is for this StoryCorps is that a life defined not by disability, but love. A life defined not by disability, but love. I don't know, what do you feel when after you hear this, if you heard this story? This is the picture of this this single mom and her daughter, Myra. I don't know, do you feel sympathy for the persons in the stories? Do you feel guilty for doing something that just like Mrs. Brown say? Or do you feel lucky? Do you think Mrs. Brown and her daughter get a fair treatment from in this world? What will you do if you are one of them? My heart was deeply touched by the story. Just like the title of the story, A Life Defined not by disability, but love. I think we can replace this world, this word, disability, with other words like a money, power, or famous. So the title will be A Life Defined not by famous, but love. A life defined not by power, but love. To show the importance of the love. So what is the love? What is the love? Can we see the love? Can we touch it? Can we hear it? On the past Thursday, it's Valentine's Day. I don't know. Did you see a lot of love moving around? Actually, we can see the invisible power of the love. Even though we cannot see it, we can see the invisible power from the love. If we look at the dictionary gives the definition of the love is that a profoundly tender, passionate affection for another person. Do you have a passionate affection toward your parents? Or do you feel you love your parents? Do you love your sister or brother? Do you love your friend? Do you love Jesus? Most of the Christians say they love Jesus and they love God. Do we? Maybe sometimes, depend on our mood. If you pay attention to the verse that we just read on the John, Then that's one thing Jesus keep repeating. I don't know, again and again, I don't know if you pay attention to that. If we look at the verse 15, 21, and 23, you will see that the same message show up again and again. So as we read, as we know that if we study the Bible, if Bible keeps repeating the same thing, that means that's important to us. So here Jesus told his disciples that anyone loves him will obey his teaching and command. So here the love leads to an action. What is the action? Obedience. So in the previous story, we can see the love leads to the mom's dedication and protection on the child. And mom's love wins the love from the, and love and respect from the daughter. So in the book of James, it says, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. So in the same way, if we say we love Jesus, but that's no action, then it is not truly a love. I don't know if you remember when we are a little child, we learn from the church Sunday school. Usually the church Sunday school teacher, what did they teach us? You say, obey your parents, right? Obey your parents, because God wants us to honor our parents. In the Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, they say, honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and it may go well with you in the land of the Lord, in the land the Lord your God is giving you. So this is one of the conditional promise from our Lord, that if we honor our parents, then we may live long and be blessed. Do we love our parents when we are a little child? I think so, because at that time we did not know much of about this world, and they are the person that we kind of most trustworthy to us, and at least we know they love us because they do a lot of things for us, and they take care of us. If you look at the little Zachary. I don't know, do you know how much work Freddie and Sarah put on him in order to keep him in good shape and healthy? So when we are young, we believe that our parents, what our parents told us, and we put our faith in them. A child's love is most sincere and innocent. So he obeyed what his parents say. And we remember Jesus says that, I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. So are we living in a way that bring honor to our parents? Do we live in a way honor Jesus and obey his teaching? If we love a person, we usually follow what the person say. In some sense, it's kind of true, especially when we are in love with another person. People say love is blind, or love makes us blind. When we are in love, we may not care much about our friends, our family, or our responsibility. The only thing that matter is all the person we love. When she say it is right, he will not say it is wrong, even though it does not look right. So on the other hand, we may say we love Jesus, but often we do not, or we cannot follow his teaching or command. Why? Because Jesus gave us too many rules to follow. Jesus say, you cannot do this, you cannot do that, you need to do this, you need to do that. Bible says that the truth will set us free. John 8:32 says, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. But we did not see the freedom by following God's teaching. We see a lot of restriction on us. Therefore, we need to keep some distance from Jesus. We like the blessing from Jesus, but we also like this world because it's so attractive and so much fun out of this world. Bible say, do not love the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. So this is part of the struggle between our sinful nature and Jesus' teaching. Apostle Paul, he has expressed a similar dilemma in his in the book of the Romans. And in Romans chapter 7, verse 18, he said, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. When Jesus told his disciples that he was leaving them, he knew his disciples need much help to overcome the challenges ahead of them and the temptation from this world. That is why Jesus asked Father to give his disciple a counselor. Jesus asked Father to give his disciple a counselor, or called the Holy Spirit. Jesus will ask in the verse 16. Jesus will ask the Father, and the Father will give them another counselor to be with him forever, and the Spirit of the Truth. So this Comforter is the Spirit of Truth. Also, we call that Holy Spirit. In here, the Jesus used a word, another counselor, which in Greek means another of same kind. Another of same kind. When Jesus was in this world, he was a counselor to his disciple. So when he was leaving this world, he asked his Father to give another counselor, that's the Holy Spirit, to be with his disciple. Jesus told his disciples that he will not leave them as orphans, because the Holy Spirit will live with them and will be in them. Jesus lived with his disciple for 3.5 years, but from the verse we know that here Jesus promised them the Holy Spirit will be with them forever. So not only that the Holy Spirit will be in them and in us, all who are Christian. We usually ask a question to a believer right after he accepted Jesus Christ as a Savior. The question usually is that after you receive Jesus as your Savior, where is Jesus now? Where is Jesus? What is the answer we usually get? It's in our heart, right? It's in our heart. Yes, when we accept that Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Jesus will come into our heart. In the same way, when Jesus led his disciple, the Holy Spirit will come to his disciples' hearts as well. After Jesus led his disciple, the Holy Spirit will also teach them about what Jesus said. So when we do something, as a Christian, I think most of us may have similar experience that when we do something which is not please God, or is not God want us to do, the Holy Spirit in us will remind us and also advise us that this is not the right thing to do, since the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Truth. The Spirit of the Truth. He will only speak truth to us and will teach us the truth. Actually, in the book of Acts, when Peter was arrested by the ruler and defended for his beliefs, you can see that he was filled with Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit guided him what he needed to say, And he also make a bold statement about the gospel, all depend on the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit will teach disciples and teach us all things, and will remind us all everything that Jesus want us to say or want us to do. And actually, if you look at the verse 17, he says there's a address the difference for different people response to the Holy Spirit. That's a table. I think I don't know. It's we can go to that table on the PowerPoint. That table showing that the difference between the response to the toward to the Holy Spirit, what is the world the response and God's people's response, and we can see that the world cannot accept the counselor because it does not see him, or we can say that it isn't looking for him, and it does not know or does not recognize the Holy Spirit. But as a Christian, we know the counselor. And counselor live with us and is in us. And why the world cannot accept the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit will not speak on his own. He speaks only when he hears from the Father. So, on the contrary, the world will not let us know the truth or refuse to accept the truth. In the John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, it says that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. So what the evil one tries to do is prevent us from knowing or seeking the truth. Andrew Murray is one of the minister. He says that there are two tremendous powers try to influence us in every decision after Adam's fall. In his book, Living to Please God, he mentioned that those two power, one is the world, and that includes the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of the life. And another one is ourself. The world neither love you or hate you. The world either love you or hate you. So John 15:19 says, if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of this world, and that's why the world hates you. The world hates Jesus because the world is under the control of the evil one. So another way that Satan that can keep us away from the loving Jesus is to loving ourselves. If we think about the fall of the Adam and Eve, it is because they love themselves more than love God. Adam and Eve they want to be like God. However, the more we love ourselves, the more self-centered we live in this world. Because we will pay all our attention to ourselves, we do not have any interest on others, and then they will lead us too far away from Jesus. In the same way, whoever loves Jesus and obey his command, Jesus and the Father will love him. And Jesus and Father will make home with him. Those are the promises from our Lord. In verse 27, Jesus gave his disciple and each believer another promise. They will live and give peace to us. Jesus will leave the peace with us. What does the peace mean? One of the minister, Dr. Gudzak, he mentioned that he gave a very good definition about the peace. He said, true peace comes from yielding all to the will of God. Let him have his way. Let him solve the problem. Then the heart can be at peace. So this is the peace that Jesus had when he faced the cross of the Calvary. So the peace from God does not provide the promise of no trouble or conflicts at all. Our peace comes from the fellowship with God and the assurance from the God. It is different from the peace from this world. I think most of us try to live in a peaceful life. We do not want to see any trouble or conflict among us. That is the general definition of the peace from this world. However, what Jesus said is that, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. This is from John 16:33. So Jesus never promised us that we will not have any trouble at all or any conflict in the world at all in this world. And he also warned us that we will have trouble in this world, but he will give us peace when we are in trouble. I would like to share a personal story with you regarding this, the peace from Jesus will not trouble our heart, or the peace from Jesus will not let our heart be afraid. I don't know, do you remember when is the our last economy recession? Which year? 2012? It is about late 2008 and early 2009. Okay. At that time, I worked for an automotive supplier, and during that time, if you remember, the financial, a lot of bank, a lot of investment company, they are in a very big trouble, and automotive industry also in a very bad shape. And GM, General Motors, was filed bankruptcy on June 1st of 2009, and same thing, Chrysler also filed bankruptcy at that time. With no exception, my company also experienced very financial difficulty. So one way to resolve those issues is to execute a massive layoff to reduce the workforce. So that in order to survive those harsh economical environment. So I remember on the day of the layoff, everyone is so upset. Everyone is so nervous. Because most of us, we don't know who gonna be let go, who gonna lose the job. You may say that, well, the manager know who gonna be let go. Yeah, the manager may know, but the manager himself may not know if he gonna be let go or not. So at that time, I remember my manager, he asked several people out of the door. And after he finished his duty, he was asked out of the door as well. And one of my colleagues told me that she was hiding in the choir room and weep for the awful situation, because you see so many people was let go. It's really trouble in your heart. And on that day, my company laid off about more than one third of the workforce. If you ask me, do you afraid of the being laid off? What would be my answer? Yes, definitely. I'm afraid of that, right? Because I don't know what's going to happen. But I also believe that God has His plan in me. So no matter what happened, God has His plan. Even though I do not know what will happen to me, but I have heavenly peace from the Lord. This peace is different from the world. Okay. In Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15, it says that, "Let the peace of the Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful." Before we conclude today's message, I would like to ask you, what are the purpose? I want to share with you, what are the purpose for us to receive all this promise and blessing from our Lord? What are our actions toward Jesus' teaching? First of all, it is for us to witness God's love and share His good news with others. Sometimes I heard the Christian say, "I do not know how to share the gospel with others." Actually, we can witness the gospel to others throughout daily life. Jesus said, "We are the light and salt of this world." If we say that in one way and we do it in another way, we will not be able to witness Jesus' life in us and glorify our Lord. When we listen to the Holy Spirit, He will tell us what to do, what to say. The action after we receiving all this promise is we need to witness Christ through Holy Spirit. And we will glorify the Lord through the Holy Spirit. And the obedience to Christ will bring the peace. I would like to share another story before I conclude this message. One time, there's a pastor, they call Pastor Luke Zhang. He came to our church and shared this story with us. Pastor Zhang, he traveled to China a lot. Okay, usually he went there. He go there to lead different conference or different meetings for different Christian group, like a school fellowship group, or family church, or the working professional fellowship group. And one time, he attend a prayer meeting from a Christian group, in a Christian group, and a sister shares the following story with him. This sister, she came to the meeting and she said she needed an urgent prayer for her job. And she worked as a front desk clerk at a local hotel. And in China, you know, actually right now in China, you know, there's a lot of very good traditional virtue has been totally abandoned or been empty from people's heart because of the Cultural Revolution, after the Cultural Revolution. People think about how to make more money or in different way. They try everything to make more money. One of the normal or illegal practice in is that the customer, they live in this hotel, they come to live in your hotel, right? And they will say, at the time when they check out, they will ask you, "Can you write the amount on the receipt is more than what I spend in this hotel?" For example, if I live in this hotel, like spend me $15, he will ask the clerk to write down $100. So if it's a business trip, when he go back to his company and he file the expense report, he can get $50 difference. That's a way for him to get more money, right? So this sister, she is a Christian, right? So when the customer come to her and ask her to write the amount more than they pay for it, she will say, what's she gonna say? Yes or no? She will say no, because she is Christian. And when she does this, she will not feel peaceful. However, those customers does not understand that. They think she just not cooperate. You know, she's not helping them. So what they do is they shout at her and they complain to the manager. So they always ask her to call the manager out and complain to the manager, say, "Hey, your employee does not serve us well." And it's very harsh environment for her, especially she's at front desk. So it's kind of another way of persecution for her to serve in this world. So once at that night, when she came to the prayer meeting, she told everybody that tomorrow I'm going to have a meeting with my manager. And I think I know what her manager told her. She probably going to fire her. Okay. So that night, they prayed urgently, and I prayed diligently for her whole night after the midnight. And then the next day, she came to work, and her manager came to talk to him. He said that I don't think you are feasible to doing the work for this hotel or sitting at the front desk because you irritate a lot of customers. I think the better job for you to do is to do accounting for the hotel because I trust your integrity. So I think if you are in her position, will you insist follow Jesus' teaching, or you will yield to the common practice in this society? This sister insisted doing what is right from God, and her moral behavior may cause customers to choose other hotels because they know if they come to this hotel, this clerk is not helping them. So they will maybe go to other hotel, and they may hurt this hotel's business. So as a way, you can see that she is has been suffering such kind of persecution from this world for a while. But that night, when she told her brother and sister, she needed a prayer. It is desperate. And we can see that God worked in her and in all the sins. So the story shows that how to glorify our Lord and through the Holy Spirit and through our daily living. How the obedience to the God teaching and commands finally lead to peace. I think the process, like the story that I share with you, the process is not easy. When we face such kind of situation, our heart will be troubled. We will feel that we're gonna lose something. But toward to the end, we can see that God's peace will be with us. I will share so that John 16:33, again, I will read it again. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. But in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So let's encourage each other and remind each other that while following the leading and the teaching of the Holy Spirit, that we need the help from our Lord. So may our Lord help us and follow His teaching for the rest of our life. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the message you give to us. By reading through those verses, that we know it is not easy for us to live in this world, but with your blessing, with your promise, we will live in a way that depends on our our Lord, like a vine to the branch. Help us to follow your command. Maybe often we will struggle, but God, we know if we put our faith in you, eventually you will win this battle for us. We thank you. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thanks.